Let's hear God's word. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, speaking about a tax collector, when it is used, that term publican is used in Scripture. He saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast oft and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. We'll end our reading there at the end of the verse number 35. And with the word of God open, we'll stand, please, for a word of prayer. Our loving Father, we come before thee now in Jesus' name. I pray for the help of thy Spirit to preach the word. I pray for enabling grace, the power of God, the anointing of thy Spirit. Oh, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost through the word. Lord, answer prayer. Save the lost among us. Restore the fallen. And thrill the hearts of thy people. For we offer prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. From the creator of Genesis 1 to the bright and morning star of the Revelation and the chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is seen to take center stage in sacred scripture. Christ Jesus is the central figure of biblical revelation. Remove the Son of God from the Word of God, and you have very little left. As we come to meet the Son of God in the Scripture, we meet him in various guises and in various roles. I suppose the greatest of these is the Savior and the Redeemer of his people. And yet there are other times when we find him taking to himself other roles and other offices. We find him in Scripture as a prophet. And as the prophet, he dispels the darkness of sin's ignorance, the darkness that has encapsulated the sinner's understanding. We find him there as a priest, and as priest he atones for the sins of his people. We find him there as king, delivering sinners from the bondage of sin's captivity. We find him in Scripture as a teacher, and as such he instructs us concerning himself and the ways of God. We find him as a shepherd, the good, the great, the chief shepherd. And how we find him protecting and providing for his sheep. We find him as an advocate, pleading for his own in heaven, and answering all the accusations of the wicked one on behalf of his people. However, in the Word of God, we see another role that the eternal Son of God takes to himself, namely the role of a physician. When you read through the four Gospels, you'll come across the Savior on many occasions bringing physical healing to those that he came into contact with, from lepers to those who were deaf and dumb and blind, even to those who were dead. The Lord Jesus Christ brought healing to the sick and to the infirmed verifying that the gospel that he was preaching was true and trustworthy. However, the ministry of Christ as a physician went much further than the mere healing off the physical body. Because as the physician of the soul, the Savior came to heal the sin-sick soul. Tonight I want us to consider then the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular role as the sinner's physician. In a message that I've entitled, Christ, the Greatest Physician. Christ, the Greatest Physician. What is it that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician? Well, the first thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician is his qualifications. His qualifications. Now, an ordinary doctor must first be examined and proved before they can possess a diploma that authorizes them to practice medicine, whether that be in a GP practice or whether that be in a hospital ward. A doctor must be adequately qualified before they can practice medicine on their particular patients. What about Christ's qualifications as the greatest physician? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, the soul's physician, received his diploma or his commission from God the Father. Quoting from Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 in the verse 18 said these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal. He has sent me to heal as a physician the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." By that divine commission, the Lord Jesus Christ is authorized and qualified to walk through the hospital of this world and bring healing to the sin-sick souls that he finds therein. Because this world is a hospital full of sin-sick souls. Now, we've all heard about quack doctors. I'm sure you've heard that particular statement about a quack doctor. The word quack, it comes from the word quacksalver, which refers to someone who sold salves and other healing remedies by fast-talking patter or by quacking. Quacking. Now, many of those individuals, of course, were not doctors. No, they were simply traveling tradesmen who went from village to village selling their medicinal remedies. But those quacks, they soon disappeared long before their customers ever realized that their remedies were worthless, before they were ever deemed as a quack doctor. Well, let me say, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is no quack doctor. His qualifications are second to none when it comes to him being the physician of the soul. I say that because it is he who made the soul. And as we know, that individual who makes a particular product is the best individual to take that product. If it ever finds itself broken and unusable, it's always best to send it back to the manufacturer. Well, Christ is the manufacturer. He is the maker of the soul. In Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 7, we read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Who is better to qualify to heal the sin-sick soul than the one who actually made the soul? I'm told in Job chapter 12 and the verse 10 that the soul of every living thing is in the hand of God. Not only that, but in Ezekiel 18 and the verse 4, we see that the Lord God declares this, "Behold, all souls are mine.
No better qualified person could there be to make the soul whole than the one who has made the soul and by his omniscience knows exactly the infirmity of the sin that plagues the soul of man. His qualifications are second to none. The greatest of all physicians. No one ever we're physically unwell, physically sick. We want the opinion. We want the expertise of the best consultant in the country. Is that not the case? We want the best doctor, the most qualified individual to look into our case and to look into our medical history to find out what our problem is. Well, listen, brethren and sisters, why would we then seek anything less when it comes to our spiritual sickness? Why would you go to some quack doctor? Some doctor that knows nothing of the saving grace of God. I speak of unsaved ministers. Why would you go to such an individual who knows nothing of the saving grace of God themselves? Why would you go to them with regard to your spiritual sickness? We must want then the best of physicians to diagnose the problem. And then to give us the proper treatment, the proper remedy for our illness. And such is found in the person of Jesus Christ. His diagnosis is always right. There is never a misdiagnosis when it comes to the sin-sick soul that the great physician looks at, examines, wonders, and brings to his attention the problem of man's soul. You see, his diagnosis is that we have all sinned. That's his diagnosis. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he's qualified to make that diagnosis. Not only that, but he's also qualified to give the remedy. And the remedy is the cross. The remedy is the blood of Christ. That's the remedy. And so we find that Christ is the greatest of physicians. You see, this is how Christ is speaking here in the particular chapter that we read. Notice what it says in verse 31. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, not those who think themselves to be whole and to be healthy, but sinners. These are the sick ones. As the great physician, I have come to call sinners to repentance. That's my remedy. The remedy for sin is a turning from it, a repentance from it, a forsaking of it, and a receiving of Christ as Savior. His qualifications make him the greatest physician. But secondly, the second thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician is his years of experience. His years of experience. You know, doctors in the United Kingdom can spend up to 16 years in training before they qualify to be a medical doctor. Some 5 to 6 years for their degree. Then 2 years after that for a postgraduate foundation course. And then somewhere between 3 and 8 years in specialized training. Some 16 years an individual can be found with regard to training in order to become a specialist consultant. As with any profession, the longer the person is within the job, the more knowledge they accumulate to themselves, which means that they become then better equipped for their job. What's the old adage? The old adage is there's nothing like experience. There's nothing like experience when it comes to our place of employment. A doctor's years of experience, no doubt whatsoever, assists that doctor in the diagnosis and in the treatment of their patients. The more patients a doctor meets, the more patients a doctor treats, the more confident that doctor becomes that their diagnosis and their treatment is the correct diagnosis and the correct treatment. Well, what about Christ's years of experience? Walking the hospital ward of this world. What's his experience? He has had 6,000 years of experience dealing with sinners, dealing with the ungodly, dealing with the sin-sick soul. He became acquainted with man's illness when it first came into the world, when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. And since that moment of time, Jesus Christ, the great physician, has been healing those who are sick with sin. Let me say this, Jesus Christ, and I say this reverently tonight, Jesus Christ is no junior doctor. He's no junior doctor. Oh, he is the best physician. He is the greatest physician. He has had years of experience behind him. He is the eternal Son of God. Years, decades, centuries, millennia of years of experience. And whenever we think of that, does that not then command our unwavering trust and confidence in his diagnosis and his treatment of our greatest need, the need with regard to our sinner, with regard to sin? Sinner, would you not place that sin-sick soul of yours then into the care of the great physician who has had years of experience in dealing with sinners just like you? You're no new, unique case. Don't think yourself to be that tonight as a sinner. You're no new, unique case. Christ has sought people like you before. They've been found in his consultation room, as it were. They have found themselves guilty of sins just like yours. Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, immorality, sodomy. All these sins, thank God Christ has taken them into his treatment room, and praise God he has healed them by the gospel. He saw people like you before. He's administered the treatment of the gospel to their soul. He's brought them to the cross. He's pointed them to the blood of Christ, of his own dear Son. He's brought them into that place. And he has pointed them to the remedy for sin. Oh, maybe tonight you feel yourself to be wiser than God. And maybe be better careful tonight with regard to what I'm about to say. But I'll say it anyway. It's about the mother-in-law. There you go. Mother-in-law, she had medical books. And I'm sure you've all had medical books in the past. Well, any ailment that happened in the McElroys, those medical books were always consulted. And she got it right once. I think it was with regard to Andrea, to Mrs. Stewart there. She got it right once. We all like to self-diagnose ourselves, don't we? We type in our ailments into Google. We say we've got this and we've got that, and we all like to self-diagnose ourselves, and oftentimes we make the wrong diagnosis. We don't have the experience behind us within medical training. Never so with Christ. He never misdiagnoses, because he has saw it all before. You may feel yourself to be wiser than God. You may say, well, preacher, I'm going to diagnose myself on what I need. What I need with regard to God. I just need to clean up my life a little. I need to stop the smoking and the gambling and the drinking, and that'll be good enough for God. And now you've made yourself, as it were, your own doctor. How sad and how foolish it is. Oh, God would have you to come under His care tonight. As the great physician, he would want to point you to the fact that you're a sinner, hell bound and hell deserving, and needing the mercy of God and the grace of God in the gospel. He would have you tonight to leave your sin behind and trust him alone for salvation. And yet to date you have failed to do that. Listen, God knows what's best. Heed then his counsel and do what he demands of you in the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. He's a great physician, the greatest physician, because of his years of experience. The third thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician is his fields of expertise. His fields of expertise. You know, whenever doctors complete their foundation program and their medical training, they're then able to apply to begin their specialized training that will determine the particular area of medicine that they will focus in during their career. You see, no doctor however intelligent they are, can know everything about every medical condition that affects the human body. That is an utter impossibility. And thus a medical student must choose the field of medicine that they want to become a specialist in and then pursue that field throughout their career as a doctor. That is what that's what happens with regard to human physicians. However, when it comes to the greatest physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his omniscience, he has infinite knowledge of all things. There is no limit to his field of expertise. He is acquainted with the need of every sinner. Whatever your sin would be, he is well acquainted with it tonight. He has full, complete, perfect knowledge of who you are and where you are and what you've done as a sinner. He knows you through and through. This doctor needs not to sit you down and to speak to you one-on-one with regard to your sin. He knows it all. He's heard your sin. He saw your sin. He's acquainted with all of your sin tonight. He's got a full record with regard to your iniquity and your transgressions. Well, there's no limit to his field of expertise. He is acquainted with the need of every sinner. Christ, as the sole physician, is acquainted with every ailment that arises from the human heart that is plagued with the disease of sin. Whatever way that outworks itself, he's well acquainted with every ailment. William Nicholson put it like this: he understands the cause, the progress, and the precise state of the soul's disease, whether it be the fever of anger, the cancer of covetousness, the leprosy of immorality, the lunacy of ambition, the palsy of spiritual sloth, the stone of an obstinate heart, the swellings of pride, or the consumption of unbelief. Christ knows the inclinations of every soul, the sins which most easily beset them. He knows you through and through. His field of expertise. You know, you may think tonight your case to be incurable. You might think tonight that your case is beyond the ability of anybody to remedy. And yet I remind you that there is no sinner's case that has ever baffled, no sinner's case that has ever bamboozled the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. His expertise runs to every kind of sinner. Every kind of sinner. Every kind of sinner. And because it does, he is well able, praise God, to save that sin-sick soul of yours even tonight. The Savior's disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ a question. In Luke chapter 18 and the verse 26, who then can be saved? Listen to the Savior's response in the verse 27 of Luke 18. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Tonight I stand in this pulpit to say to you, a deep-dyed, hell-deserving, guilty sinner, disgraced by sin, feeling in your own soul that there's none to help, I say to you tonight, the great physician is here. Christ can save you. Christ can make you whole. Christ can rescue you. Christ can deliver you from going down to hell. Take then that impossible case of yours and place it into the care of the greatest physician. Come to experience the power of God in the gospel. There's something else we think about this great physician, the greatest of physicians. The fourth thing that makes him the greatest physician is his bedside manner. His bedside manner. You know, doctors with a good bedside manner have a better rapport with their patients and provide better care for them. In addition, patients who feel more comfortable with their overseeing physician, I'm told that they're more likely then to follow the recommended treatment plan. Empathy, compassion, tenderness,
They all make good for good bedside manners when it comes to your human doctor. For a doctor to have empathy with you, to understand what you're going through. Yes, and for a doctor to show compassion, and for a doctor to be tender with you as he treats you. Surely that is good bedside manners for some human doctor. Well, let me say that such traits are found in their abundance when it comes to the greatest physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes with regard to his conduct with the sin-sick soul, how does he treat them? How are his, as it were, let's use the term, his bedside manners with regard to that patient who lies on the bed of sin? Think about his empathy. The empathy of Christ. Now, Christ was no sinner. He did no sin. Oh, but there's empathy. There's sympathy. Could we put it that way? Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows the frailty of the flesh. He understands our weakness. He knows how we are and what we are. Yet without sin, we read, and yet how empathetic he is. He understands. He understands the sinner's plight. He sees them in their lost and their hopeless and their helpless condition, like the shepherd with regard to the lost sheep. Oh, the empathy of the shepherd who went out after that lost sheep. The empathy of our Savior tonight. His empathy. Think about his compassion. Psalm 86, verse 15 informs us, but thou, O Lord, art a God. Listen to these words, full of compassion. Full of compassion. And gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. He's full of compassion. Remember whenever Christ stood and looked over Jerusalem, and how he wept for Jerusalem. It showed us his compassion. And then he looked one day and he saw the multitudes gathered. They were like sheep going astray, having no shepherd. And it says that he was moved with compassion. And he was moved with compassion from heaven's glory into this sin-cursed world. The compassion of Christ, the greatest physician. What about his tenderness? The tender Savior. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, the tenderness of the Savior. Psalm 41. It really gives us an insight into the manner in which God deals with his patients. Let me read that verse. Psalm 41, verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Every patient under the care of the great physician has no complaints when it comes to how he deals with them. There is none so kind. None so tender, none so pitiful, none so loving, none so gentle as the Savior. When Benjamin Parsons lay dying, he was asked by a friend, "How are you today, sir?" Parsons replied, "My head is resting very sweetly on three pillows, infinite power, infinite love, and infinite wisdom." God had made his bed. God had made the bed of his own child. And that's what it is to be under the care of the greatest physician. Even in death, he calms our fears and he fills our souls with peace and with assurance. Oh, sinner, would you not come then to Christ tonight? Would you not come to the Savior now? Experience the tenderness by which he handles every sinner's case. I have no doubt
that you'll find his care second to none. Second to none. As with any good doctor, he'll tell you the truth about your condition. No doubt about that. He's not going to hide your condition from you. That would be a negligent doctor. No, he's going to tell you about your condition. He's going to tell you that you're a sinner. That you're deserving of his wrath. But even that news is delivered with love, with great compassion, with great tenderness, with the aim, the purpose of delivering that news to you, of delivering you from that condition, your sin condition. That's what doctors want to do. They want to bring healing to their patients. They don't want their patients to continue in their sickly state. Christ does not want you to remain in your sickly state tonight. He would have you to be healed. Healed and made whole. Well, may that be your experience tonight. There is a fifth thing that makes Jesus Christ the greatest physician. And that is namely his prescribed remedy. His prescribed remedy. I want you to consider the extensive suite of medicines that are available to doctors today to treat the many, many, many ailments of the human body. For those who are a little older and you've now started to take the pills in the morning, you just think about your own medical history. You think about the numerous medicines that you have been a partaker of since you have been diagnosed with whatever ailment it is. If one medicine doesn't work, or maybe you take a reaction to it, or it has some kind of adverse effects, you go to the doctor, and what does the doctor do? He simply writes another script, another prescription, to give you some other medicine for your same illness. You think about how many pills and how many medicines you have taken with regard to your own, and you think about the extensive suite that you have been a partaker of with regard to your illness, and then I want you to multiply that with regard to the many illnesses that there are in the world, from low blood pressure right up to cancer. When you think about all of the suite of medicine that is available for a doctor to use, and you'll come to then appreciate the vast array of medicines that are available to treat such illnesses. I'm sure they run into their hundreds of thousands, if not even more, in order to get the problem sorted out. However, when it comes to dealing with the sickness of sin, God only needs one medicine. God only needs one remedy. He prescribes only one remedy for that spiritual ailment. Why only one? Why not a whole suite of remedies? God needs to prescribe only one enemy because it works every time. It works every time. It works on every occasion. It works for every sinner's case. What is the remedy? What is the medicine? What is the cure? It is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, of which the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ are integral components. That's the remedy for your sin-sick soul tonight, sinner. It's the gospel. It's the cross. It's the blood of Christ. And it works every time. From the adulterer to the idolater, to the self-righteous, to the proud, to the immoralist, to the religious individual, from the atheist to the agnostic, the gospel works every time. He doesn't need a suite of medicines. He just needs one. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. The healing of the soul is ascribed to the blood of Jesus Christ, the shedding of which satisfied divine justice. What does the blood do? Well, the blood for the repenting sinner, it redeems the sinner.
in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It justifies the sinner, the blood of Christ. Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're sanctified by the blood. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His blood, suffered without the gate. We're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made an overcomer by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives even unto the death. Sinner, I say tonight, you are sick. Fatally sick. Terminally sick. I say, backslider, you're sick. Dreadfully sick. What's the remedy? The remedy for backslider and sinner is exactly the same. He'll prescribe it every time, the cross, the blood, the gospel. That's the answer. And His blood is able to cleanse from all sin. Now there's a few other things, very quickly. The sixth thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician is His waiting list. His waiting list. Now we all know about waiting lists in Northern Ireland. I'm told that there's some 335,000 people waiting to see a first consultant-led appointment in Northern Ireland. We're told, news reports have told us, that without significant and recurrent funding from government, it's going to take at least 10 years to deal with our waiting lists in Northern Ireland. But what about the great physician's waiting list? How long does it take us to get a consultation with Him? How long does it take? Weeks, months, years, decades? The answer is, it only takes a moment of time. Just a moment of time. When the sinner takes themselves off to God in prayer, they find that He's already there waiting. He's waiting for them. Aye, and not only is He waiting for them, He's ready to pardon their sins. He's ready to forgive them. Right there and then. Psalm 86 verse 5 speaks of that. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Ready. And plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon Thee. Sinner, the wonderful thing is that the Savior is only a call away. Only a call away. Just a prayer away. I was thinking about this. And even if others turn to Him the moment you turn to Him, He'll not put you on some kind of waiting list. I think we've got a great example of that found in the book of Acts. Chapter number 2, we all know what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were convicted by God the Holy Spirit. 3,000 souls turned from their sin and turned on to Jesus Christ. And 3,000 souls were added to the church of Jesus Christ on that day. Now, were they put on some kind of waiting list? No, when they called, they were saved. When they called, they were pardoned, they were forgiven. Even though many were calling to God at the exact same moment, He heard their cries. He heard their cries. Listen, God will not put you onto a waiting list if you turn to Him for salvation. The moment you turn from Him, the moment that you turn to Him, the moment that you call upon Him, is the moment that He'll hear your cry and He'll save you. When it comes to the great physician, He is always available. Always available. He's always available for any seeking sinner. The seventh and the final thing that makes the Lord Jesus Christ the greatest physician is His fee. His fee. Did a little bit of research and I found that you can expect to pay something like £8,500 to £14,000 for a private hip replacement. £995 to £3,255 or £50,000 for a private carpal tunnel release. Between £1,500 and £4,295 for private cataract surgery. If you avail yourself of the services of those who practice medicine on Harley Street in London. You see, every medical procedure has its cost, and every doctor has their fee. And yet when it comes to the great physician, he demands no payment. No payment for his services. His salvation is free. Full and free. It is without money, and it is without price, because it is because of grace. Grace. Is that not illustrated for us in the healing of the woman with the issue of blood? The gospel writer tells us that prior to meeting the Savior, this woman, she had spent all her living upon physicians. That's what the gospel tells us. She had spent all her living on physicians in the hope that they could cure her. And yet in spite of that, she grew worse rather than getting better. But then she met the Master, the Savior. No money was ever exchanged. Only the reach and touch of faith. And she was made whole. Christ didn't turn to his disciples and say, "Now, draw up the bill for that lady. Send it off to her. Make sure she makes payment for the physical healing that I have now given her." No, the Savior did nothing of the sort, because he brings the healing free, free of charge, without money, without price. Is that not incentive enough for you to come to the Savior just now, that he's ready to freely pardon you? It is the Savior's delight to save and to heal the sin-sick soul freely and perfectly. And those whom he restores to spiritual health will enjoy that health forever. Forever. Why not then come to him and avail yourself of the healing that he offers in the gospel? As I close, let me encourage you to make the words of John Newton, if you're not a Christian, make the words of John Newton the prayer of your soul tonight. And let me read this little poem of John Newton's. "Physician of my sin-sick soul, to thee I bring my case. My raging malady control and heal me by thy grace. Pity the anguish I endure, see how I mourn and pine. For never can I hope a cure from any hand but thine. I would disclose my whole complaint, but where shall I begin? No words of mine can fully paint that worst distemper, sin. It lies not in a single part, but through my frame is spread. A burning fever in my heart, a palsy in my head. It makes me deaf and dumb and blind and impotent and lame. And overclouds and fills my mind with folly, fear, and shame. A thousand evil thoughts intrude, tumultuous in my breast, which indisposes me of my food and rob me of my rest. Lord, I am sick. Regard my cry and set my spirit free. Say, canst thou let a sinner die who longs to live for thee?" Come to him, the greatest physician, and he will heal you, and he will make you whole. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Redeemer. May you come to him just now with that sin-sick soul of yours. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Let's pray. I'll make my way down there to the door to greet you. You're in the building here, so give me opportunity to do that. If you are concerned about spiritual things, then make your need known at the door. Make contact with us via the various means now available to you if you're watching there online. Oh, may God be pleased to work in your soul and bring you to the great physician. We sung about him tonight, the great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. Oh, may you come and find healing in the gospel, in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Our loving Father, we confess, O God, the need of thy Spirit now to work in hearts and lives. We recognize that many are so sickly that they find themselves in some kind of spiritual coma, where they are in and of themselves aware of even their present state. We pray that thou by thy Spirit will enter in, convicting of sin, drawing the sinner on to the great physician, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bring healing, bring wholeness and soundness of health to the soul. May God be glorified. May Christ be exalted as God himself moves and saves and restores. Answer prayer, we offer now these our petitions in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. God bless.